Well, open up your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago. I'm going to talk to you about the rapture of the church today. And I'm going to completely start over since where I was a few weeks ago. It's been so long ago since we started on it. And I got off on some other things and been out of town a few times and all that. And I wanted to get in here a Sunday where I could dedicate two or three Sundays in a row to it if needed to be. But I want y'all to understand something very, very clear. Whether you agree with what I'm about to say or whether you don't, one thing that we all should be able to agree on is if we're Christians is that the Word of God is accurate, true, and correct. Amen? Now, I believe here a couple years ago I was preaching very much, and I believe this nation was in deep, deep prayer about the things that were going on in this world. Just a few years ago, this nation was in a terrible spot, and I believe that the direction of this nation hinged upon the election of a president. Now, I know that God's plan is going to go forth, but here's what you and I got to realize. God uses people in order for his plan to go forth, whether they're good or whether they're not. Amen? And many of us, we sit back and choose to do nothing because we like to sit there and say, well, God's plan is going to go forth anyway, so I ain't going to do nothing because God's will be done. Then, you know, what are you seeking the Lord for? Amen? What are we seeking his direction for? What do we even pray for? You see what I'm saying? So anyway, I believe, I'll be straight up with you. I believe if the office would have went to Hillary Clinton, people come in here, y'all may get mad out there. You might try to take my 501c3, but the reason I can speak this, number one, I'm bold with the Holy Ghost. And number two, we got a president in office that protects the rights of Christians named Donald Trump. All right? So what ends up happening is I believe if Hillary would have won, I believe this country would have went to pots. I believe that we would be in a place right now that is just absolutely horrible. And I won't go into what all I believe would have happened. But I know at that time that I was speaking very, very much on that in this church. I know on that time I was seeking, I was praying. And I remember whenever Donald Trump got elected, I spoke to this church and I said that this country has been granted a reprieve because of the prayers of the saints. I said, this country has been given a reprieve by putting Trump in office. And I said, God is going to watch us and see what we're going to do with it. And if you watch the news, the hatred has even grown greater since Trump got into office. Okay? And what you and I have got to realize is this is not so much let me look for the words. This is not so much about Democratic and Republican, which I believe that there's many things stemming out of the Democratic Party that are just horrible. And I'm not saying that all Republicans are right either. There's Republicans that got evil hearts too. Amen. But here's what I am saying. The things that are going on right now, and I'll say this just in short, that Donald Trump has done more to protect Christians in this nation than any other president in modern history. He has done more to protect. Thank you all for that clap. There's a couple of people who know what I'm talking about. Donald Trump has done more. And I want you to understand something. These elections that are coming up in November of this year, which is midterm election, and I'm afraid that Christians have got lazy and set back on the rump because times have been good. The economy's turned around. Things are going good. Things are going in our favor. But I think we've got lazy and we've set back. Amen. And we hadn't been praying for him since he's been in office like we were before he got in office. Amen? And I'm here to tell you this, that these elections that are coming up are very, very important, and it's very, very important that you get out and vote because you're voting for your senators. You're voting for things like this that are coming up. Amen? And here's what's going on. What's going on in this country is the Antifas that are out there, these left-wing liberal parties, these feminist parties, all of these things going on out there, these abortion, all of this stuff. I want you to understand that this is an attack against the things of God, and Trump is nothing more than their little gadget to point at. And the reason that they're attacking Trump and the reason that they hate Trump so much, it's not because the economy's doing better. It's not because he's created more jobs. Amen? It's not because he has done away with so many of the regulations that drove businesses out of this country and now they're coming back. I don't even believe it's really about the wall and aliens and all that. What it is you've got Donald Trump that boldly stands up, proclaims the name of Jesus, and defends our religious rights. And this is an attack against that. But nobody's going to stand out there and say it. Nobody's going to stand out there and say, we hate God. Nobody's going to do it. But what they're going to do is because most people are so ignorant to the things of God that they don't even recognize when the things of God are being attacked. So they do it in a subtle way. So it is very, very, very important that you and I get out and vote, because there's things coming up out of the party, the left party, that is evil. And how many people remember a message I done a couple years ago called the homosexual agenda? I need to do that message again. And there is a spirit of Antichrist that has been working since Christ, and that spirit of Antichrist is still working today. And as we get ready to go into this message, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to be talking about the rapture, or actually the lack of the rapture of the church today. I'm going to hit this out there point blank, and it's going to blow some of your minds, going to blow some of y'all minds. I do not believe that the church is going to be taken out of here before the tribulation period. Now, as I say this is not a salvation issue. You might not agree with me on this, and that's okay. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be upset. I can have somebody disagree with me and still get along with them wonderful. I've been married 21 years. I've learned how to do it. Amen. And you can't be married happily 21 years unless you learn how to agree on some disagreements sometimes. Amen. But what has happened is I was once this guy too. I was once this guy that believed that Jesus was going to come back three times. He'd come back the first time, you know, when he died on the cross. Then he's going to come back in here, and he's going to sneak in here one day and get all his saints out so that we didn't have to go through no trials or tribulations. And he's going to leave all the rest of you heathens to get beat up. But I just started looking at the simple natural. I just started looking at the world, just in simplicity. And the reason that I believe this, now listen to me, the reason that I believe this is because this is what I was told, and I heard the preacher say it behind the pulpit, and it was convincing. It was convincing. So I'm not saying anything against people that believe this. And I'm not saying that if you believe that you're going to be taken out of here before the world gets bad, that doesn't mean that you're saved. And I'm not saying that, because this is not a salvation issue, but I believe it is definitely a being a prepared issue. I can still be friends with you. I can still love you. I mean, I got wonderful friends that don't believe this. And I tell you, I mean, that's okay. But I want this body to be prepared in the fullness of the gospel on what is happening and what is going on. Amen. And I just started looking at some things in the natural. I started saying, Lord, how come the U.S. is more special than anybody else on earth? And I know we love to use the scripture that says if we bless Israel, you know, we'll be blessed and all of that stuff. But I was looking at scripture one day, and the scripture says that God is no respecter of persons. And we always love to use that in a good way. That God is no respecter. You know what? If he gave you $1 million, he'll give me $1 million. But what about if he chopped that person? What about if that person over their head got chopped off because he was standing for Christ? He is no respecter of persons. Could that happen this way too? Could it go both ways? So I just started looking at things, and I started looking at people in other countries, and I started lining things up with the Bible. And the Bible says in the end times that these things would be happening, and these things were already happening in other countries. There was already people in other countries that were being thrown in prison for ministering the gospel. There was already people in other countries that were being beheaded for ministering the gospel. There was already people in other countries that were being killed for ministering the gospel at a higher rate right now than it's ever been in society. So I just started questioning God, and I was like, okay, so why have you not taken them out? Because we've got this idea in America, and when you go to third world countries, I've been to India, I've been to Africa, I've been all over the world preaching the gospel, and this is not something that is believed in other countries unless it's introduced by American doctrine. And this is something that's just been around in about the past 100 years or so. So I started looking, and I said, Lord, what is it that makes the United States of America so special that everybody else is going to go through tribulation. People are getting killed. They're getting cooked. They're getting baked alive. They're being thrown in prisons. They're getting their heads chopped off. Their families are being killed in front of them. I mean, if you ask them, they're right in the middle of it right now. What? Why are we so special? So it drove me to start studying. And it drove me to really start looking at Scripture and taking it in context of what is being said. And that's where this message comes from. And we forget that with the amount of publicity that we've got out there today, with the amount of Facebook and podcast and TV, that I believe it's really hindered our ability to hear the Holy Ghost. Because we get lazy, and instead of studying the Scripture, we pop in another teaching. Instead of studying the Scripture to show thyself approved, we pop in another teaching. And it's great, because every time we pop in these teachings, it builds a ministry. It puts money in another ministry, whatever it is. And we've got lazy to where the only way that we can hear the Holy Spirit for ourselves now is many times through what somebody else says. And I'm not saying that there's not preachers out there and teachers and evangelists and those things, because God has given that to the body of Christ to equip the saints. But folks, listen, we got to let the Word of God say what the Word of God says. Remember one time I stepped into a church. I started this when I was speaking this a few weeks ago, and I went into a church. The first time I ever taught this was at another church several years ago. My goodness, I didn't know that you wasn't supposed to go in. I thought, I was a young preacher. I mean, I started seeing this and believing this when nobody else was seeing it, man. Everybody was against it. Everybody going, well, that ought to be proven. No, there's a few out there that believe like this. And when I started preaching this, I was like, man, this got to be revealed. I walked into a church one time and preached this. Man, I preached it up. I preached it down. And man, the next week I seen on Facebook where that preacher in that church says, we got a true prophet of God coming in that is very well versed in the Scriptures. He's got a doctorate degree of 28 years, and he's going to come in and explain to you about the. It took him 3 weeks to undo what I done in 2 hours. I said, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't want anybody to invite me to preach. I'm like, all right, this is what I've been studying. This is what we're going to preach. Go to 2 Thessalonians. So here's what started this in my search of the truth. 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to read this. I don't know if I'm going to get all the way through my notes here today. I do plan on talking to this for about 50 minutes. Now, brethren, all right, that's me and you, right? Can everybody agree on that? Let's just stand up and pray. Father God, as I minister this word today, Lord, my goal here is not to try to exalt myself and look like I'm smarter than any man. It's not to try to come across as arrogant or cocky or haughty. Lord, my goal here is to minister your truth, your word, and what you say. And Lord, I ask that you help me to do that with humility. I ask you to help me to do that in a way that people receive it and understand it. And I ask you to give me the ability to explain your word where it's easily understood, but not only to explain it, but you give the people a heart to receive it and ears to hear it clearly. And Lord, I know there may be people out there watching. There may be people on here, but Lord, here's what I'm asking. That, Lord, that you would give them the ability to hear what is being said today, that they don't automatically just raise it up and reject it because this goes against what they've heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I believe this is very, very important, this teaching. I'll tell you why. Because I believe there's many, many people in this world that here's what they think. This is what I used to think. Maybe I was just the only one. But I used to think, I'm going to go ahead and live life however I want to. And this is before I was even saved. And then when the rapture happens, when I see a bunch of people disappear, then I'm going to get right with Jesus. Bible teaches us that you ain't going to be able to do that. Amen. Now, let's go on. I believe people are walking around with their head in the sand. And I believe that if we do not understand this, listen, I believe that the trials and tribulations that you and I go through today is preparing us for that time. I believe that the trials and tribulations that you and I go through today is preparing us for that time. And if we do not understand that, then the trials and the tribulations that we're going to go through, we see them in vain and not for the purpose that God intends them to be. And if we're going through trials and tribulations just because we think God doesn't have anything better to do but pick on us and make our life tough and make our life hard at times, then the trials and tribulations that we go through, we're not going to learn from them. Therefore, we're not going to grow from them. And if we're not growing, we're not going to be able to be rooted and grounded and stand in the time that we need to be able to stand. God is trying to prepare his people. God is trying to prepare his people. Just like an athlete, just like a coach prepares an athlete for competition, God is trying to prepare his people. And if you do not know this, if you're not aware of this, if you think that, if you can't study and spend and read the word now and resist things now, what are you going to do when a knife is to the neck of one of your loved ones, when a sword is to their neck? You see what I'm saying? God is trying to strengthen us now because he knows what's coming into this world one day. Amen? All right, let's go on here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, that's the church, that's you and I. He says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you, now let's just look at verse 1. I'm going to break this down verse by verse. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That word together means the coming together of Christians. Amen. We are gathered here together. But there is a day coming to where every Christian on planet Earth will be gathered together in the sky. The Bible teaches us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. So those Christian brothers of ours and sisters of ours and children and all of that that have went on and died and their body is in the ground, that there is coming a day that the dead will be risen up and you and I will be taken up and we will go to meet him in the sky. Amen. That is 100% true. It'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is going to happen. Amen. Now he says right here, he said, so what is Jesus talking about? We got to break the scripture down. Now we beseech you. In other words, Paul is saying, I beseech you, I beg you. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm begging you to listen to what I'm saying here. And the reason Paul is begging them to listen to what he is saying here is because there has been some wrong teaching about this, so Paul is addressing it. Now listen to me. There's been some wrong teaching about this, so Paul is addressing it, okay? And he says, I beg you to listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me, okay? Now, he says in verse 2, he says that you not be soon shaken. Now that word, he says that you not be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day Christ is at hand. So Paul is saying, so evidently when you read different things out there, whether you read different history or different commentaries, at this time, many people, there was letters, there was things going on, and people were saying, Christ has already come back, Christ is at this, Christ is that. And Paul is saying, now listen to me, concerning the return of Christ, concerning Jesus coming together and gathering his people, coming to get his church. Y'all with me? As far as Jesus coming to get his church, and now you got to understand, Paul's going in and explaining about that matter, okay? And he says right here, that you not be shaken. And that word shaken means a motion produced by winds, storms, and waves. In other words, he's saying, don't be shaken by a bunch of hot air. Don't be shaken out there by what a bunch of different people are saying. Don't let it move you. We must have our house built on the rock. And when we tie that word shaken in, and we go over and we look at what Jesus said. Now look at this. Jesus said in Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And isn't it amazing that that word shaken right there means winds that blow? In other words, what he is saying is Jesus is saying, he's not saying don't be moved by the actual winds that blow. He's saying don't be moved by the attacks and the things that come against you. Amen. He's saying build your house on rock. And he said, this is how you know when people's house is built on sand, because when the attacks of people, the attack of man, the attack of society come against them, they go with the wind and waves of society rather than standing on the word of God. The Bible says, do not be blown to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine. And the most unstable people are people that are not rooted and grounded in the basic doctrines of the things of God. And the most unstable people are people that spend no time within the study of the Word of God themselves, but they're always looking for another man to interpret the Word of God to them. Amen? So he's saying, so it's amazing to me that the same word is used there. He says, don't be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now let's go down to 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, let no man deceive you. Now this is what you got to understand. Now if we go back to Matthew chapter 24 real quick, or just put it up there on the screen. Paul is saying right here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now look at this. Paul is addressing the gathering together of the saints, and he says the same exact thing that Jesus Christ says when the disciples ask him about the end of the world in Matthew chapter 24. Look, he's talking, what is Paul talking about here in 2 Thessalonians? He's talking about the concerning of the gathering together of the saints, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, let no man deceive you. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. In other words, Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So they're coming, they're saying, how shall we know about the end of the world? And I'll preach on Matthew 24 next week, but I'm laying it out right here. How shall we know? And Jesus, the first thing Jesus says, and the first thing Paul says about the return of Christ is make sure that no man deceives you. Now, why would they say this? Because they knew that there was going to be a great deception going on in the body of Christ concerning the coming of Christ. Come on now, church. We got to let the Bible interpret the Bible. We can't. Now listen, and I know I can go through and I can grab a scripture from over here, and I can grab a scripture from over here, and I can grab a scripture from down here, and I can grab a scripture from down here, and I can put it together to make it say. But when I teach you this, I'm going to teach it to you line upon line upon line, and precept upon precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. In other words, we're not going to take a scripture out of context and adopt it over here. We're going to go through the context of the teaching so we get an understanding of what is being talked about. Okay? All right, so he says, now let's look at this. Let's look at this. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, what are we talking about? See, listen, when you study God's word, these are the kind of questions you got to ask yourself, okay? So when you start asking yourself these questions, now the scripture becomes alive to you, okay? So he says, now, brothers, he says, concerning the coming of our Lord, okay, would y'all agree that Jesus Christ has already been killed on the cross, buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven at this time? So the coming of Jesus is what? His return. There can only be one second coming. Because if there's more than that, there'd be a third one. Amen? Are you with me, right? All right. And it says now concerning, so what are we talking about? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Gathering, which that word right there, you look it up, we get the word rapture. Gathering together, coming together, the coming of Jesus and gathering his saints together all over the world. Can we agree on that? Amen? So that's what he's talking about. And then he goes on and he says, in our gathering, he says, we ask you, in other words, don't be shaken by mind, what people have told you, troubled either by spirit, by word, or by letter. He says, don't be shaken by this stuff, by these letters and what people are saying and what people have told you and all of this stuff is going on. He says, don't be shaken by this. He says, I'm just going to give you a couple things to look for. See, listen, my concern is this. That my focus be upon Christ, amen, at all times, looking for his return. Amen. That's to be our focus. Amen. So he's saying here, now let's look. He's saying, and by word or by letter, as if from us. So in other words, Paul's saying, hey, you know what? These things that are troubling you are not from us. It's not from me. I didn't do it. I didn't send it. And there's many, many things out there that are people are saying that is causing confusion and causing things going on, but it's not what the letter of the epistle, Paul, the letter of the Lord says. Amen. All right. And he goes on and he says, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. In other words, they already thought, well, Christ had already come here. Boom. It's done. It's done. I mean, he's already come and got his people. It's over with. It's gone. Now watch. He goes on. And he says, let no one deceive you. In other words, the Holy Spirit that spoke through Jesus in Matthew 24 is the same Holy Spirit that is speaking through Paul in 2 Thessalonians. So the disciples, who was a learner of the word, they come to Jesus and they said, how are we going to know about the end of the age? And the first thing that Jesus says, he says, don't look for this. Don't look. First thing he says is, don't let no one deceive you on this. Don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody deceive you. First thing Paul says, concerning the gathering together of the saints, don't let nobody deceive you. So that right there tells me I need to look into it. That right there tells me that if the second return of Christ is being talked about and the rapture of the church, that should cause me to tune in really, really close when I hear somebody talking about that in order to make sure that I'm not being deceived. And see, for many, many years, and this is going to be hard, because the hardest thing for us to let go of is we all got our own golden calves. It's just whatever we've exalted in our mind. And folks don't want let see, folks don't want to let go of the things that comfort them. And many times our greatest comfort in our lives is a belief system, and we don't want to let go of it even if it's wrong, because that belief system brings me comfort. And like, people want to lie all the time about the kids being saved. Kid 27 years old, been sticking needles in his arm since he was 6 months old. Oh, I know he's born again, gave his life to Jesus right out of the womb. No. See, instead of facing the fact that a person could be lost and ministering the gospel to them, we find comfort in deception many times. Amen. Where y'all going? Sure, did I make you mad, aren't you? No, I'm picking. You didn't have to tell us. I was just playing. I love Miss Cheryl. She loves this kind of teaching. That's honesty. That's the Holy Ghost right there. Thou shalt not lie. Amen. Now, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come, let no one deceive you by any means. Now, look at this. For that day will not come. Okay, what day? The coming of Christ and us gathering together unto him. Okay, for that day will not come. Well, let me get over here where I got my notes. Let no one deceive you. It says, let's see. Let me look down here. Oh, I want to show you this word too. I'm sorry. Let me back up. I got a lot of notes here. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, and many of us know him as the Antichrist, amen. But really in the Bible, he's called the man of sin, amen. Antichrist is a thing's anti-God, and he will be Antichrist, anti-God. But his name is either the son of perdition or man of sin, amen. So when you see that abomination of desolation, those things, that will always point you toward what we call the Antichrist, amen. And he says, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So I looked up the word perdition in order just to make sure. That word perdition, it says the son of perdition. It says there's a falling away. Now, y'all know where I stand on this. How can you fall away from something that you never was a part of? Amen. I can't fall off this step if I was not on this step. Amen. So many, many people, they sit there and they say, that's why, this is just one of the reasons that I believe that a person is not once saved, always saved, because right here, there says there's going to be a falling away. And what that is pointing toward is these are people, what that is saying is fell away from something that they were once on, that they were once with. Now, people can go in here and say, well, these people never were really saved, but that's not what it says right here. It says there's a falling away. Don't grab a scripture over here that says something else in a different context and put it here. This is what he's saying. And see, many people don't want to let go of that comfort because they want to live like a heathen with the expectation that because they got saved once, they can live however they want to and they're still going to go to heaven. That's their comfort. That's their comfort belief. You see that? You see that? Oh, do you see that, church? That's their comfort belief. It brings them comfort. Nobody wants the realization that what? I'm headed to hell. Nobody wants the realization that their child may be headed to hell. But until you got the realization that somebody's headed to hell, you're never going to be able to deliver the gospel that saves them and puts them in God's mercy and places them in the palace. Amen? A person will never turn from the direction they're headed until they recognize a need to turn from it. Amen? So he says here, he says the son of perdition. So what is perdition? Destroying. Utter destruction of vessels, a perishing, ruin, destruction of money, destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. So what is Paul saying? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now tell me if this was, because many of us would read perdition and we'd just read it and we'd say like, okay, I don't really know what that is. You wouldn't worry about it. Now let me tell you what perdition is. Now read it like this. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. The son that wants to destroy, he wants to destroy your vessels. He wants you to perish. He wants to ruin you. He wants to destroy your money, the destruction, and he wants to take you to eternal hell. That's what perdition is. That's who he is. His whole goal is to take people to hell. Amen? Now, let's go on. Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? And he said upon one, I'm going to skip over that, deceive. Now, let's go down to 1 Corinthians 10:10. He says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. See, many times when we look at that, we see words like perdition. We don't know that that's a person that wants to take your soul to hell. Many times we look at the word destroyed and we don't know what that means. We don't get the depth of it. And when we study the Word of God out, it gives us the depth and the understanding of the plan of Satan and the danger that society is in. Amen? And until we have a true understanding of these things, then many of us are not going to be motivated to go out and to preach the gospel the way that the gospel needs to be preached. Amen. So let's look here. What is a destroyer? The destroyer, now look at this. And I just get into words. I start looking up words like this, okay? Destroyer, what does that mean? That's not a U.S. military vessel. Y'all know that, right? Amen. So I looked up the word destroyer, okay? So what does the word destroyer mean? A venomous serpent. Okay? So I said serpent. So I looked up the word, Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, and he laid hold of that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So when we go through and we start studying the Word of God out, if we would start looking up words and studying and cross-referencing, it would probably create within the body of Christ a little bit more sense of urgency than what we have right now. Because really, I think, I'm going to be honest with you, which you ain't no good church-going Christian going to say this, but I think many people in church are sitting back on their duff just waiting on Jesus to come get them out of there. I don't need to tell, now they ain't going to say this, I don't need to tell nobody about Jesus. I'm just waiting on that glorious day when the Jesus is going to come. Oh boy, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because, what is the motivation? Their comfort zone. When the Bible tells us nothing about that, we're going to be comfortable. It says, this is how you're going to know you belong to me. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be killed. You're going to be thrown in prison. Your head going to be... God promises us. Let me tell you the promise God gives his children. You're going to be hated because they hated him first. Amen? All right. And I'm just laying out a couple words here. Destroyer, okay? So let's go down to 2 Thessalonians. Let's back up to 2:3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, the one that wants to take you to hell, is shown. Amen? And what is his job? His job is to steal. His job is to kill. His job is to destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly. He is a destroyer. He is a serpent from old. He's a dragon. He's an old serpent. And when you see the word serpent, when you see the word dragon in the Bible, it's talking about devil, the devil and Satan. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And now this is it. Watch this. He says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now what? Now what? This is what he says. He says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now let's look at this word opposeth. To oppose means, I want you to think about this. If you're reading through the word, what would you get out of that? This is why the Bible says that we must study and show ourselves approved. Because many times we're going to read through the Word of God, and if we don't have the understanding of the meaning of the Word, then we're not going to recognize it when it happens. Come on, church. I know this is not a screaming and a shouting message tonight, but I want to teach you something or today. If we do not understand many of these words in the Bible, amen, then we are not going to recognize what is going on, because if we don't understand the biblical meaning of opposeth, then we're not going to be able to one that opposes the things of God. There's a lot of stuff going on that if we don't understand the word opposes, we don't understand that there's churches opposing the things of God today by welcoming homosexuals to stand behind the pulpit. We think that's love. Does that make sense? All right, let's look here. So it says, who opposeth. That word opposes means to set over against, opposite, to oppose, be adverse, to withstand. In other words, to be against the things of God, to withstand against the things of God, which is what the spirit of Antichrist at 1 John tells us has been going on in the world. So that's everything that we see going on now. I opened up this service, and I probably should have explained a little bit more then, but it's the spirit of Antichrist that are working in these things in order to try to remove a man from office that is standing for the Christian faith and your rights of religion. That's Antichrist. But the devil's got smart. He's not just going to come out and say it. And if you and I do not spend study in the Word of God, then we're going to be deceived and not see what's going on. It's a shame. People been in church for 40 years and ain't got a clue. Amen. And he says, opposed. So what does it mean? It says, now let me read it to you like this. It says, who sets against and opposes, he's adverse and withstands the things of God. Stands against them. See, the spirit of Antichrist many times works in you and I. How about when we look at our own life and we see things in our own life that the Bible speaks that we ought not be, but we oppose it, we stand against it. How about wives submitting to your husband, but you come up with some reason why you can't oppose in the Word of God? You ain't opposing. How about husbands loving your wife as Christ loved that you're opposing? I'll start loving her and treating her the way she needs to treat me once she starts respecting. That ain't what the Bible says. It didn't say once your wife starts respecting you that you are to love your wife as Christ. It says you are to quit opposing God's Word and do what the Word of God says. Quit exalting your doctrine above the doctrine of the apostles. That's satanic. It's demonic. And it's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. And it's going to keep many people out of heaven when Jesus comes back. It's of the devil. And we don't want to say that today. We don't want to say things are of the devil. We want to give them all disorders now. He's got rebellious, sometimes can't obey syndrome. No, he got a demon. Called flesh. Got a little problem? I got a little problem with pornography. No, you got a problem with sin. That's what we do. We give all this stuff a name so that hopefully a man can fix it and it ain't worked thus far instead of just calling it what it is. It ain't a problem with adultery. It ain't a problem with this. It ain't a problem with that. It's sin, and there's only one place that sin can be addressed, and that's at the cross of Calvary. That is it. All right. It's a different message. Who opposeth and exalteth. What is exalteth? Exalteth means to lift or raise up over something, to lift oneself up. Be exalted, to be haughty. So let's look at this. So he's talking about this man of sin that comes to destroy, that comes to ruin, that his goal is to take people to hell, and he is against and he opposes, he's adverse, and he withstands the things of God. And how do you know? Because he'll raise himself up over these things. He lifts himself up and he's haughty. Now, what does that sound like? Now, listen. There's many, listen, these are the things that are going on. See, because Donald Trump, our president today, he is standing, he is protecting, he is guarding. And listen, and that's why they're bringing everything out against him. They're trying to bring out what he done 10 years ago. Thank God that people don't use against me what I done 10 years ago. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, lying, cheating, all of that stuff. You name it. But you know what? That is not what disqualifies me to be in ministry. What qualifies me to be in ministry is I've been born again, washed in the blood, filled up with the Holy Ghost, forgiven, and made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And the proof that these people that are trying to remove this man out of office is they're digging up everything that they can from his past 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or whatever it is, in order to try to use him, because they want to unseat him, because he is the greatest protection that we... Now, let me say, I'm not putting him over Jesus, but he is the greatest mouthpiece that we have in this country as far as our rights being protected as Christians. And I'm not saying that everything that he does is right. I'm not saying that he ain't messed some stuff up. And I'm not saying that he ain't screwed up. But here's what I am saying, that he is a bigger advocate for Christianity than any president we've had in office. Whether you call him a Christian or whether you don't, whether he is or whether he's not, I don't know if he's born again and saved or not, but I do know this, that he speaks of Christ. I do know this, that he makes some mistakes just like I do, but I do know this, when it comes down to standing for the rights of Christianity, that he stands for those rights. Okay. So what's going to happen, he says, this man of sin is going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Now watch this. Let's read Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 real quick. What is the thing that got Lucifer removed from heaven? Listen to this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Listen. In the beginning of time, whenever this was, eternity past, Satan wanted to be exalted above God. And that's the very thing that got him cast down out of heaven. And he's going to do it once again. And he's going to do it through the man of sin. And he's going to stand up and he's going to exalt himself above God. He's going to say that he's the Savior. He's the man. He is this. He is that. He's going to exalt his ways. He's going to say, look what I've done. I've brought peace into a world. Even Jesus Christ couldn't do that. Didn't Jesus Christ say, we're to be peacemakers? Look, I've made peace. Jesus couldn't even do that. He's going to say, who's the true Messiah? And stupid people are going to fall for it. Now, let me tell you, let me go back to something. I believe that God is preparing his children, you and I, for his return. He is preparing us for his return. Paul tells us that we're to look unto that day, look unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us in Thessalonians. He is preparing. But then the spirit of Antichrist is preparing his people for the coming of the man of sin. And it's going to be with all kinds of deception, because he's preparing his people out there, these flaky people in the things of God, these people that are not really rooted and grounded, these people that have no understanding of God's word. They're just blown to and fro, backwards and forth. And this man's going to come on the scene, and he's going to have flattering words. He's going to use flattery to get people, the Bible says. When the Bible says don't trust a man that uses flattering words. He's going to use this stuff, and he's going to come on, and he's going to be so nice, and he's going to be soft-spoken. He ain't going to have horns and a red tail and a pitchfork that he's running around with. And people are going to become, and people that are not rooted and grounded, and people that don't have a love for the truth, the spirit of Antichrist is already working in those people, so that when he comes on the scene, they'll believe him. They'll believe him. They'll believe him. And we'll sit here and say, that ain't me. That ain't me. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be somebody, because God says they're going to be here. And guess what? It's going to be the ones that they didn't think you'd ever be. It's going to be folks sitting in church. All right, let me go on here. And he says, now let's look at this. So it says, and I'm going to read it all together here in a second. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Okay, now let's look. Let's go back over. I broke that down. Now watch. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about the return of Christ and our gathering together. That is the gathering together, the rapture, the going up to him. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind, troubled in spirit by either word or letter, as if from us, as though that day of Christ had come. Then he says, let no man deceive you by any means. He says, this must happen first. These two things must happen first. He says, the day will not come unless there be a great falling away. I believe we're in that time right now, and the man of sin is revealed. In other words, he's saying, hey, listen, this is it right here. Christ ain't going to come back. This is going to be the great mark right here. This is going to be the great mark that the man of sin is going to be revealed. He says, it ain't coming back. Christ ain't coming back until that happens. He ain't coming back until that happens. And it doesn't say he's coming back at the moment that that happens. Okay? Many of us like to think, well, the moment that the man of sin is revealed, we're out of here. So there's some people that think it's going to happen at the beginning of the 7 years, or some people this will be mid-trib, because the Bible teaches that there's going to be 7 years, halfway through that 7 years, 3.5 years in, the man of sin. So some people believe we're going to be taken out of here at the beginning of the 7 years. Some people, that's a pre-trib. Some people believe we're going to be taken out of here the moment the man of sin is revealed, which is mid-trib. But I think we're going to be here till the end. I believe the coming of Christ is the rapture of the church. He said, because these things do not happen. Now watch. It says, unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now what does he do? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. He says he is God. All these people are following him. They're worshiping. He is a man slick. He's got a smooth tongue. He uses flattery so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Okay, now watch. It says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told these things? You know what the biggest thing with the body of Christ is? They forget what they've been told. See how easily people fall away? We can go in, man, we can hear a message. We walk out of here 30 minutes later, and I guarantee you. And I was listening to, I was out at the Biker Bash yesterday, and I was listening to Eddie B. preach, and he said something. I just sat there, and I went, wow. He said that it's scientifically proven fact that if you preach for 45 minutes, people are only going to remember 5% of what you said anyway. I said, are we that dull in society? Are we that moved by our mind working in what's going on Facebook? What's going on over here? What's going on? That we have the made by God, and we've only got the ability to obtain 5% of what we hear. And you tell me that there, if that is true, you tell me that there's no need to go back and study this out? If that is true, you tell me there's no need for daily prayer. There's no need for daily Bible reading. There's no need to fellowship with the saints if we only retain 5% of what we hear about God. That means that instead of being in a 45-minute service, I need to be in an all-day service. So hopefully every 45 minutes I gain another 5%. And by the end of the day, I might have 50. That's what that tells me. We need to be listening more. And in church, more. And read more. And praying more. If I only obtain 5% of a 45 minute, I need to be 45 minute in all day long. Would you agree with that? Okay. It says, now, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Now, let's jump down to verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now, you know what is straining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Now, check this out. Now Paul asks this question. He says, and now, or he makes a statement, and now you know what is straining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is where the church, this is where I believe the church misses it. Because I was taught this, and many people are taught this, but they'll say, well, that right there is the church. And they say, the only thing that is restraining the coming of the Antichrist right now is the church praying. That's not what that's saying. Look, I can't even stand against a Snickers sometimes. I can't even, man, I was coming home last night. I drove by Dairy Queen twice trying to resist the blizzard. And I just gave in. I said, that must be you, Lord, telling me I deserve a blizzard today. You really think I got the power to hold off the Antichrist without the Spirit of God doing? Amen? Are you with me? So let's look at this. Let's just break it down and let's see what the Word says. Let's just look and see if Paul answers it within his own Word. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Okay, this sin, this iniquity, this mystery, it's already at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So my note here says, many people say that it's the church holding back the man of sin, and they interpret this as saying when the church is taken out of the way, then the man of sin will come on the scene. So the way people interpret this, they say, look, it's the praying saints. See, God is waiting, and then when the church is taken out of the way, then the Antichrist or the man of sin can come on the scene. That's not what that's saying. Let's just read it. Let's just read it, and let's look at what it's saying, okay? Now, let's go back. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only that he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, let's jump down. Let's look at verse 7. Let me see here. Or let's back up to verse 6, I'm sorry. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. What is the restraining factor here? What is the restraining factor? Let's look at that. I know, let's just look at this. And now you know what withholdeth, that he may be revealed in his. The timing of God is the factor, not you and I being removed. So at the timing of God, when the Antichrist comes, or the man of sin comes upon the scene, the reason he's not come upon the scene yet, because it's not the right time yet. And when he comes upon the scene, it's because it's the right time. Not because the church has been taken out of the way, because of the timing. Does that make sense? Now listen, you may not believe that, but this is what the Word says. Does it or does it? See, that's what we got to do. We got to get rid of all this other stuff. Okay, now let's look. Let's look. All right, let's go down to verse 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now listen. Okay, let's just go. If the church is going to be gone, if you and I are going to be gone, okay, if you and I are not going to be here, then who is the man of sin warring against in Revelation chapter 13? Let's go to Revelation 13 real quick. Now watch this. Put Revelation 13, 6 up there, Mo. I'm going to wait on him to put it up here because I want everybody to see this. Revelation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. To blaspheme his name, what did he say? He exalteth himself above what? His tabernacle. He said he'll set in a tabernacle, right? Now watch. And them that dwell in heaven. He's blaspheming everything. Go to verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war. In other words, it was allowed for him to do it. Watch. To make war with the saints. Now, if the church is going to be gone, who's the saints? And I know many people are going to sit here and say, well, those are the ones that get born again during that time. It don't say that. Well, you got to bring it all together. No, we got to bring it together to fit your comfort zone. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. You mean, Lord, what? Yeah, some folk going to be getting killed. It ain't going to be good. Saints, Christians, believers. And you can stand up all day long and you can quote your name it, claim it, scripture. But just yeah, you there are going to be some folks that blood's poured out because they're a Christian. And he said, and here's the deal. This is really what started getting me to question it. This has already happened in other parts of the world. Now, if for some reason it don't come on the grounds of America, now here's the deal. This is what's so important about us voting and getting involved. Because if we don't go out and put people in office that at least stand for some of our Christian rights, this is what we're setting ourselves up for. Because I'm going to tell you something. You may think that your vote don't matter. You may think that whatever's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you something. You wouldn't be enjoying the benefits you're enjoying today if Hillary Clinton would have got behind that desk. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Now, and it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So, if the church ain't going to be here, saints, then who's he warring against right here? You may say, well, that ain't the man of sin. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Let me look at something here. Matter of fact, he back up a little bit. It says, then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God and blasphemed his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. Whoa. Whoa. So what about the ones that say, well, I'm going to wait until everybody's taken out of here and then I'm going to get right with Jesus? If your name ain't in the Lamb's Book of Life, you may not be able to get right with Jesus at that time. Today is the day of salvation, church. Anybody getting anything out of this or just falling on deaf ears today? Is this giving, let me just ask y'all this. Is this giving anybody a little different way to look at this? Amen? Okay. And he says, all right, let's go down. Let's see what he says in Daniel. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Daniel 11, 31, Mo. And it says, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute. Well, let me just read it out of my Bible. I like reading it out of my Bible. Let me get over there. Go to Daniel 11. And he says in Daniel 11, I'm going to start, let's see. I'm going to start out in verse 30. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. He shall return and show regard for what? Those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. And they shall take away the daily sacrifices. So what does that tell us? That within the temple, there's going to be sacrifices going on again at this time. There's going to be people, if you go through, you study out the Sanhedrin, that there's coming a time when the temple's going to be rebuilt on the Mount of Olives, and then they're going to reinstate animal sacrifices and all this. Now, this is my personal belief. I cannot prove this scripturally or anything like this, but I believe that this exaltation of creation above the creator is all this plan falling into place, this Mother Earth, and there's people out there that care more about animals than there are people, and all of these things going on. And what ends up happening, there's going to be sacrifices. Animals are going to be sacrificed in this temple again. But I believe these Mother Earth people are going to cry out so much that the man of sin is going to see that he's losing some followers by allowing this to go on, and he's going to stop these sacrifices in the temple in order to win, not because it's the right thing to do, but in order to win favor. And he's going to do it. And so he says right here, he says, they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. In other words, he's going to go up there and say, you don't need to make sacrifice these animals. Here I am. Look at me. You can see me right here. Jesus died. He's still in the grave. You can't see him. I'm right here. Look at the peace I've brought. Look what I've done for you. You see that? He's going to place himself there. Now watch. And he goes on. It says, but now watch this. It said, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. In other words, he's going to corrupt people using flattering words, telling you how wonderful you are and how great you are and how awesome you are and how blessed you are. And how the people that come to him and say, hey, I'm caught up in adultery and fornication. Oh, that's okay. God loves you anyway. No repentance, no turning from it. He'll use flattering words. Do we see or hear any of that today? Amen? So now watch this. Watch this. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery words. But the people who know their God, people who what? Shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Wait a minute. Hold on. I ain't going to be here. Wait a minute. God don't need my great exploits in heaven. He is the great exploit of heaven. Wait a minute. What's he talking about? How am I going to do great? Wait a minute. It just said the abomination of desolation, the verse before that. Did it not? That's the man of sin. And he says, people that know their God. Why he's here? What does he say they're going to do? They're going to be strong and do great. How am I going to do great exploits here while the abomination of desolation is going on if I ain't going to be here? Some of you, this is ministering to you. Some of you, man, this is just, phew. But I believe God is going to land right on your head. I believe it's going to wake you up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock. Like the Lord woke me up at 3:27 this morning. All right. Now let's just look here. It says that the abomination, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. In other words, those that don't stand for God's ways. But the people who know their God, see, that's the problem with people in church today. They don't know their God. They don't know their God. They've created a God in their mind. They've created a God that's totally love, but no judgment at all. They've created a God that's just all about heaven, but no wrath at all. We've decided to take all, and the wrath and the judgment of God is just as much as a part of the love, grace, and mercy of God. Because without the judgment and without the wrath, there would be no love, grace, or mercy. And that's what people want to do today. Do away with any judgment, do away with any wrath, and if you do away with that, then everything becomes acceptable. There's no standing. That's what people want. That's judging. That's why they throw those words out there. Amen? All right, let's see here. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, and those of the people who understand shall instruct many. In other words, it's important to us to understand, because while we're here, we're going to be doing what? We're going to be here doing what? Exploits and instructing many. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Timothy that the word of God has been given for instruction, exhortation, correction, and rebuke. Amen. So he says, so look. And he says, shall instruct many, yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame and captivity and plundering. Ain't that encouraging? That goes against kind of the big everything's going to be fine messages that are out there today, isn't it? Now, when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. How much? In other words, you know what I believe that little help is going to be? The power of God working in us, strengthening us, not to give in and say, okay, I don't know him. Little help. All right, it's exciting. They shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If we're gone, who's going to join with us? Listen, if we're not here, who are we going to be instructing? Come on, Charlie, get this. Some of y'all just may not believe this because you've always heard it the other way. And some of y'all just don't have no clue what I'm talking about at all. Let me break it down to you. Jesus is coming back. You either going to heaven or hell. That's it. And I'd hate to give my life for a man named Jesus that I never knew and take a stance for somebody that I never knew and end up in a place that I never wanted to go. All right, let's look here. It says, now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join with them by intrigue, and some of these understanding, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white. In other words, it says there's going to be some that stumble. That fall means they stumble a little bit. And what's the purpose of it? To purify them, to make them white, and to unite until the time of the end. There's that word again, time. What did he say was holding back the man of sin? His time. Not you, not me, not the church. His time, his appointed time. And he says right here that why until the time of the end, because it is still for thee. Read it. So, let's go back to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are y'all with me today? Y'all like this message? Yes and no, that's the correct answer, amen. Yes, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, I just showed you, at the appointed time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So until what is taken out of the way? That appointed until the time frame that God has put in place is removed. That's what's going to be taken out of the way. Does that make sense to you? And many people say, and you know what? Another reason I don't believe he's talking about the church here, because when have you ever seen in Scripture that Christ refers to his bride as a he? So if he's talking about the church, why would everywhere else in Scripture we're referred to as the bride of Christ, but then all of a sudden now we're a he? And some people might try to grab that, see, transgender's open. Now that ain't what he's saying. Why? Or do you agree that we're referred to as the bride? What is a bride? Do you agree that Christ refers to his? Say it. Some of y'all afraid to say that. I'm going to say that. It may make my belief system fall. And bride? What is a bride? A she. So why is he referring to us if we're his bride as a he all of a sudden right here? Just simple things I think of. I didn't learn this in seminary school or anything. Just, I believe the Holy Ghost showed it to me. Amen. All right, I'll go on here and I'll hurry up and finish. And then, now listen, and then the lawless one will be revealed. What? Once the time that God is setting in place is removed, not the church, the time. Nowhere does it say the church here. Church, please. He says, I don't get it. Now that's the church. Don't say that. The context of what he's talking about is an appointed time. Right? Some of you are going to walk out here and say, oh, he's the church. He's the church. You know, God calls him the bride. He's the church. God just made a mess up on that time. He misquoted himself. And then the lawless ones. Okay, I know I keep harping on this, but what is it? Look, and you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of the lawless one is already at work in he who, what is he? Capital he who restrains. He, what's a capital he? He, that's right, who now restrains will do so until what? He is taken out of the way. Does that mean that God is taken out of the way? No, but I believe what he's saying there is he that sets the timing up until he removes the timing. You see what I'm saying? That's like if I was to take if I had a cone sitting here that would stop traffic, all right, and traffic would stop behind that orange cone. If I picked the cone up over here and I moved it over here to allow traffic to flow, the cone has not been removed. It's just been moving out of the way so the progress could start happening again. Does that make sense? So God's going to remove that time that's been holding him back so that his word can be fulfilled. All right, that's the he. Amen, does that make sense? All right, and he says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. It's not when the church is gone. And then the lawless one will be revealed, who the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Let me give you all some good news now. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. There's a bunch here. In other words, I believe some of these are happening now. Power, signs, and lying wonders. Some of this stuff going on now. I see these people running around and proclaiming and having these big healing crusades. And I believe in healing. I've seen people get healed. I've seen brain cancer disappear. I've seen deaf ears open. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen stuff happen. Amen. But I've also seen people that are going up there and telling people, you're healed. And there ain't nothing happened. False glory to God is no glory at all. Amen. And he goes, now let's look, and it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Among those that what? Perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They did not have a love. Listen to me, church. Listen to me right here as I finish up. Go ahead and come on up, musicians. That they did not receive the love of the truth. In other words, they did not receive the love. What is this word? This word is the truth. And many people are going to fall into this at the end times. Why? Because they did not love what the Word of God said. You're going to be sitting out there, and there's going to be end times. There's going to be people out there that did not believe the word of God. I read it to you earlier today that he brings judgment against adulterers. He brings judgment against fornicators, homosexuals, liars, whatever it is. We go, there's so many of them, and we don't believe. And how do we know that we don't believe that? Because we do not minister the truth of the word of God to them. We love them more than we love God, and the one that we love the most will always accept into our life. Listen to me, church. What you love the most, whether it be certain relationships that don't honor God, but what you love the most, that's what you allow to be regular in your life. Are y'all with me on that? Amen. All right. Y'all stay focused, man. I know there's a little bit of movement going on. All right. It says, because they did not receive, so they perish. Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. What? Listen to me, church. Look at me right here. It says, for what? Because they did not love the truth. Listen to me, church, as I finish up. Listen to me. Please hear this. It says, because they did not have a love for the truth of God's word. They loved their own ideas. They loved the people. They loved this. They loved that more. They loved their sin. They loved that whatever it is. And what was it? Since we don't have a, if we don't have a love for the truth, then we accept the things that are not truth. And you look at the body of Christ, what's called the body of Christ today, because there's not a love for the word of God, the truth, because there's a love for money, there's a love for power, there's a love for fame, there's a love for publicity, there's a love for big buildings, big churches, build all that, but there's not a love for the word of God. And when you have love for all of those things, then all of a sudden, he who preaches the truth becomes condescending, yes, condemning, judgmental. Why? Because the word of God goes against those things, the adultery, the fornication, the shacking up without marriage, all of that. And then all of a sudden, it's at that moment that the line is drawn of what we really care about the most, whether it's the truth of God's word. And then we sit here and do things like this. Well, how are we going to reach them? You know what? Most people that say that ain't ministering the gospel to them at all. At all. You may say, well, you ought to come to church. Or they may say something like, well, you need to stop doing that. Jesus is going to get you. But really what is revealed at that time is what we love most. Come on, church. 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 Don't fall asleep on me right now. I know I've been preaching for a minute. I told you I was going to. I told you it'd be an hour and 50 minutes. You're paying attention, amen? All right, let's look here. Now finish up. And it says, and for the reason God will send strong delusions, they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, church, that is in the same context of what Paul is going on talking about. Don't be deceived. So, church, here's what you and I have got to realize. And I'm going to pick up in this on Matthew chapter 20, chapter 24 next week. I'll probably go into the simultaneous harvest also. But what you and I have got to understand is, number one, the question was, is the coming of Christ and our gathering together unto him, right? Paul says, don't be soon shaken, moved by any by letter, word, by what people are saying or anything. Listen, he says, this is how you'll know. He says, the man of sin will be revealed first. Right? And when is that going to happen? It doesn't say when the church is going to be removed. It doesn't say that. It says when he, capital H, allows it to happen, which is at his what? Appointed. According to 2 Thessalonians and according to the same thing that we just read in Daniel chapter 11. Okay? We found out in Revelation chapter 13 that what? The man of sin is going to be warring against the saints. Okay, now, listen. If the man of sin is not going to be revealed, if we're going to be out of here, then who would be the saints he's warned against? And now here's my next question. You may say, well, that's people that get born again and saved. The Bible says that. No, people that ain't born again and saved, he ain't going to be warned against people. Why? Because even Jesus said what? That his a divided kingdom shall not stand. And you may sit there and say, well, he's going to be warned against. That's the people that get born again and saved. Why? That's not what it says. That's adding to it. It says that the man of sin is warned against the saints. That's you and I, not people that are going to become saints. He's talking to us now. And who would he be warned against if the saints are gone? There's some of you that may walk out of here today and you're just so rooted in that old thing. You just think, you just going to protect your right to believe a lie. Go to hell. Some people just going to protect. I'm not saying anybody going to hell if you believe different than this. I was joking. But think about that. Who's he going to war against? Daniel 11. He says that, but those who know their God, he said, they're going to do great exploits and instruct many. What are we going to do? Have megaphones leaning over the balcony of heaven shouting down here? How are we going to do great exploits? How are we going to instruct many if we're not here? I know this ain't any deep teaching. It's just simple stuff that comes out of Scripture when you actually read it and go back and say, what? Instead of just reading through it. See, I ask myself questions like that when I'm reading the Word. I mean, that's how I do. I'll be looking at me going, wait a minute, I see that right? Oh, Jesus, man, I don't like that. But just because I don't like it, don't make it wrong. You mean, Lord, there are going to be people dying for you? And he says, no, they're not going to be. They already are. You're a blessed one that gets to live in a country right now to where your rights are being protected. That's why you better get off your rear and go let your voice be heard in the booth. That's all I got to say, church. I hope y'all got something out of this. Can we do communion real quick, or y'all done? Can we do it? Let's do it real quick. Let's do it real quick. Let's pass out the elements. I'm sorry. Long service today. I feel like I say that every Sunday. But church, let me tell you something. You ain't going to get this stuff in many, many places today. Because people are, especially something that opposes the norm out there. And listen to me, I say this to you. I'm not. If you disagree with this, that's okay. I don't dislike you. Don't mean we can't be friends. Don't mean you're not saved. All right? But I just like taking the Scripture and just breaking down to it. Because really the Scripture, if we will really just read it for as it is, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. So what I'm going to do next week, so many people, you know, maybe people out there watching saying, yeah, but what about, we're going to get into that. I can't cover it all today. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into Matthew chapter 24. We're going to get into Revelations, the simultaneous harvest. We're going to get into many, many things. I ain't going to spend weeks and weeks on it, but we're going to spend, I don't know, maybe one more Sunday, maybe two at the most, and just giving you the grounds of it. Amen. While they're getting the elements, I'm going to minister to you. It says, when the hour had come, out of Luke chapter 22, verse 14, it said, when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Wow. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he has betrayed. As they're passing that out, I want you to understand something. This Passover that he's eating here is a representation of what happened when the children of Israel put the blood on the doorpost and the death angel came and he passed over their houses. When the death angel came, he saw the blood that was on the doorpost and he knew that those people were off limits. They were off limits. Why? Because the blood had been put on the doorpost. And see, you and I, when the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life, we're off limits to the destroyer that wants to take us to soul. That don't mean he can't harass. That don't mean he can't mess with you. But you're off limits as far as eternal death and eternal damnation. Number two, Jesus said, this is the new covenant. So let me ask you this, that's shed in his blood. If the blood of a lamb, Cheryl, was able to keep away the destroyer then, how much more is the blood of Jesus able to keep him away now? This is the new covenant, amen? This is the new covenant. And this is what he said. He said that his body had been broken, the bread that we're given. He said that his body had been broken. And I love that because many of you have heard me say before that when Jesus, that when he was feeding the multitudes and they only had the few fishes and the few loaves, that what did Jesus do? He lifted up the bread and he blessed it and then he broke it. And it wasn't until he broke it that the bread was increased and he was able to feed the multitudes. We ain't ever going to be able to touch the multitudes until we're first of all broken ourselves. We've got to be broken. We got to be broken. And why? And when does healing take place? When we're broken. Why? Because Jesus said he come to heal the brokenhearted. And the reason many of us never receive healing is because we've not been broken. Amen. We don't see our need for healing. Then he said, so this is my body that was broken and beaten by his stripes. You and I were healed. I believe that's in every area. I believe that's mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. I believe that's every area. I know that we got sicknesses and diseases that attack our body, but I'm still going to believe it. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm still going to believe it because I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. Amen. I walk by faith. I believe it. I know that we may be going through times. We may be going through hard times. I know your body may be aching. I know your marriage may be struggling. I know things may be going on with your kids and your finances and your mind may be running crazy and your emotions may be up and down. But what you're going through don't change the fact that Jesus Christ said, by his stripes, you were healed. Amen. You were healed. Amen. That his body was broken. So you know what? Right now, we lift this up. And we take this communion. Why did Jesus tell us to take this communion? There ain't no power in this cracker. The reason Jesus tells us to do this. Yes, let's stand up. The reason he tells us to do this. Why? He says in remembrance of him. I've seen this so many times be done in other ways. People say, I'm going to take communion over this, or I'm going to take communion over that. I'm going to, you know what? He says, he says, in remembrance of him. So when we come to do this, it ain't for all the things in the world that we want.
No.
So that we can do it in remembrance of him, of what he done at the cross. Hallelujah. What he done. That's it. And that's more than enough.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we take this in remembrance of your body that was beaten and ripped to pieces at the cross of Calvary, on your way to the cross of Calvary, so that we got your promises to stand on today. It says, by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Jesus. Then he says, this is the new covenant. See, the Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. The Bible says that there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And the Bible says that you were not purchased with gold, nor silver, nor rubies, but the precious blood of Jesus. You know, y'all have heard me say it many, many times, but I love that. You know why? Because in this world, we can get anything we want with money. Amen. But money would not buy you and me back. So I like to say it like this. You know what the currency of heaven is? The blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus, the currency of heaven, that purchased you and I back. And he said, this is the new covenant. This is the new covenant shed in my blood. You don't have to kill an animal anymore every time you foul up or mess up or once a year. He said, you know what? This is me. And he said, I died once for all sin. You know why animals had to be killed every year and on a regular basis? Because it did not take away sin. But John the Baptist recognized it. He said, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Who takes it away. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he died once. In other words, he don't have to die no more. He died one time, and that was enough. He said, do this in remembrance of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood that washes white as snow. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the people. In the name of Jesus. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming out today. See y'all next weekend if you want part two. Thursday night, I think I'm going to pick up on Corinthians where I left off last Thursday night. And then Sunday, we're going to pick up on part two of this. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all. Love you.
Oh, the seasons change. Your love remains. Oh, the seasons change. Your love remains. Your love remains. Oh, the seasons change. Though the seasons change.